Good morning. Happy Sabbath. My name is Chad Bernard. I'm currently, I think I hope I will be in the future too, but I'm currently the principal at Weimar Academy. And it's good to be here with you this morning. Growing up, I never wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be the starting quarterback for the Detroit Lions. And they've never been right since I made that change. They've always been terrible. Probably was a good choice for me. Went to college and spent most of the time in the gymnasium. Loved it there, playing and just loved life. And one day I decided to take an intro to teaching class. And part of the rules of taking the class is you had to spend 20 hours that semester following in the classroom, hanging out with different people. And I was assigned third grade, which is perfect because I functioned at a third grade level. Some could argue that I still function at a third grade level. And, you know, snack packs and drink boxes and kickball. I mean, it was like awesome. I loved it. I spent probably 100 hours there that first semester because I just found my soulmates. And the supervising teacher is like, this guy's going to be a great teacher. He just loves education. She didn't realize that I really love putting packs and kickball. But anyway, I was encouraged to take more classes, and then I became a teacher. And about 6 years ago, the Lord called our family out west, and I love it out here. I'm a transplant, but it's such a blessing. And as I started teaching, I started reading. There are two books that, if there's the book, amen? I mean, the book, okay? So that's, but if I was going to pick another book that I feel like is just super important to me, it's the book Education. And as I love that book, and I read it and try and process it and implement it. And I've been going through this journey of reading this book, and I'm going to share with you some things that I found that I thought were quite amazing to me. I believe Jesus Christ is coming very soon. Does anyone hear? Amen? If you're in elementary school, if you're in, let's say, K, first grade, on through eighth grade, please stand up, if you would, please. If you're in first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, please stand up. Okay, good. No, please stay standing. It's okay. You'll be able to sit afterwards. Now if you're in 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, if you're in high school, please stand up. Stay standing, all of you. Okay. All right. Those of you that just believe that you believe Jesus is coming soon, if that's true, these young people will be a part of some of the most miraculous, I think it's fair to argue, the most miraculous times in Earth's history. You could argue that, and successfully argue that they're going to go through a time that it will be the toughest part that Earth has ever experienced, especially for Christians. If those of you young people that are standing here right now, if you claim Jesus is your best friend and Savior, you're about to go through an experience that no one in the history of the world has experienced, as bad as you're going to get. Not to freak you out or anything. Like, you went from pudding to the persecution. How do you do that to me? And I'm standing here staring at it. But anyway, do you think it's important how we educate these young people? Yes. Amen? Okay, you can have a seat. Thank you. So anyway, that mindset or that concept has just really, what's the word? It's been my focus. So I pulled out the book Education. So I'm going to read this book again. Okay. And now this time what I'm going to do, I'm going to write down every time it says to do something, I'm going to put that in a list. And then when it says don't do it, I'm putting that in a list. And then I like to highlight ahas, type of things, right? So this morning I want to share with you something that I thought was really powerful. And I don't know if we have this PowerPoint ready or not. I'm sure hoping we do, because if we don't, it'll be really interesting. All right. here's what she says. In order to understand what is comprehended in the work of education. So how many of you would like to understand education? Like I do. I mean, it's my job, so. That would be embarrassing, right? Do you understand education? No, I don't. But it's, yeah, thank you for, so I'm sure the next school will meet your needs. But anyway, so I don't understand it. So, but she says, if you want to, you first need to consider both the nature of man and the purpose of God in creating him. So there's two things, right? The nature of man and the purpose of God in creating him. We need to consider also the change in man's condition through the coming in of a knowledge of evil and God's plan for still fulfilling his glorious purpose in the education of the human race. So there's four things that you need to understand in education: nature of man, purpose of God in creating him, change caused by, I'm paraphrasing now, change caused by sin, and then four, how's he going to fix it? How God will fix it. So I'm like, okay. So I'm reading this book. I'm not a member of third grade. You know, that's my people. I'm reading this. I'm like, well, how do I figure that out? Well, she continues on, which is good. When Adam came from the Creator's hand, he bore in his physical, mental, and spiritual nature a likeness to his maker. God created man in his own image, and it was his purpose that the longer man lived, the more fully he should reveal this image, the more fully reflect the glory of the Creator. You follow that? All his faculties were capable of development. Their capacity and vigor were continually to increase. Vast was the scope offered for their exercise. Glorious the field open to their research. The mysteries of the visible universe, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge, invited man's study. Face to face, heart to heart communion with his maker was his high privilege. Can you imagine that school? God was your teacher. The universe was the textbook. What do you want to learn today? Okay, we can make that happen. Hey, I've got something I want to share with you today. Here it is. That's what education looked like. And then look at this. She ends with this. Had he remained loyal to God, all this would have been his forever. Okay? So that was the plan. The nature was, you were created in whose image? His image, right? The purpose was for you to become more and more and more like him. And that was the plan. That was the pre-sin plan. Throughout eternal ages, he would have continued to gain new treasures of knowledge, to discover fresh springs of happiness, and to obtain clear and yet clear conceptions of this wisdom. The power and the love of God. More and more fully would he have fulfilled the object of his creation, more and more fully have reflected the Creator's glory. So I'm processing this and I'm going, okay, let me figure this out. What's the nature and purpose? And then this, tell me if this makes sense to you. Okay, and I want to word this carefully, but I don't know how to do it. So I'm going to word it improperly and you fix it for me. Okay? Let's say you're God. Fix that. And you're perfect, and you know everything. And you're love. God is love, right? And so everything you do, you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about others. And life around you is amazing. And if someone who is like you acted the same way, then love would just continue to grow and grow and grow. Does that make sense? If you could create people who acted just like you, wouldn't love get greater and greater and greater? Does that make sense? I mean, that's powerful. So he's like, okay, I need to make people like that. So he created you in his image. What's your name?
Daniel.
Daniel, I'm going to be picking on you throughout this sermon, so just be ready. I'm serious, but I love you. I haven't even met you, but the bow tie says you're cool. So anyway, Daniel, thanks for sitting in the front row this morning. Daniel, here's the focus, okay? You were created to be exactly what you look into. And so the more you looked into Christ, the more you would act like him. And the purpose was that you would just, that communion, that connection would never end. Have you ever, Daniel, have you ever looked at a mirror? Yes, say yes. He goes, how many of you have looked at mirrors? How many of you have ever gone and saw a mirror reflecting a mirror? You know what I'm saying? Like this, and you just keep looking, and it goes forever. Like, whoa, that is so crazy. Or you go into the picture and you start doing stuff like this, you know, and it's like 50 of you and you think it's super cool. Well, process this. The purpose of God in creating you and in your nature was set up to just duplicate or reproduce whatever you saw. And the purpose was that you would only see him forever. So for eternity, you'd be more and more like your father. Does this make sense? It blew my mind. Whoa. Have you ever met somebody and they're just like their parents? I used to hate that growing up. Oh, you're just like your mother. You're just like your mother. Your mother. I see your mother. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And they do that to you, right? And now, you know, people say, you are your mother. You know, and I love that. I think my mom's fantastic. But anyway, you know, I mean, you do that, right? You chip off the old block. God was wanting you to be exactly like him. You weren't going to be God, obviously, but you are going to reproduce his character in your heart because he was going to do it for you. Does this make sense? Amazing. Now, I want to throw something out at you, and this is, hopefully you have the sound ready here. This science backs this up. That you actually have been created to do that. You with me? Here we go. Let's watch this.
Not so long ago, many scientists believed that the brain did not change after childhood, that it was hardwired and fixed by the time we became adults. But recent advances in only the last decade now tell us that this is simply not true. The brain can and does change throughout our lives. It is adaptable, like plastic. Hence, neuroscientists call this neuroplasticity. How does neuroplasticity work? If you think of your brain as a dynamic, connected power grid, there are billions of pathways or roads lighting up every time you think, feel, or do something. Some of these roads are well-traveled. These are our habits, our established ways of thinking, feeling, and doing. Every time we think in a certain way, practice a particular task, or feel a specific emotion, we strengthen this road. It becomes easier for our brains to travel this pathway. Say we think about something differently, learn a new task, or choose a different emotion. We start carving out a new road. If we keep traveling that road, our brains begin to use this pathway more, and this new way of thinking, feeling, or doing becomes second nature. The old pathway gets used less and less and weakens. This process of rewiring your brain by forming new connections and weakening old ones is neuroplasticity in action. The good news is that we all have the ability to learn and change by rewiring our brains. If you have ever changed a bad habit or thought about something differently, you have carved a new pathway in your brain and experienced neuroplasticity firsthand. With repeated and directed attention towards your desired change, you can rewire your brain.
All right, so, does this make sense? How many of you have ever created a new habit in your life? You ever done that? Yeah? Was it hard? How many have created a new habit in the last year? Okay, not as many hands. it's really interesting. I was just thinking, I won't do this here, but like I always put my belt on one way. You guys do that? How many of you are left belt people? You go to the left side. You know what I mean? Yeah. If I were to tell you, and I won't do that, but if I would say, everybody stand up with the belt, stand up, try and put it on the other way, you'd be like, no, this is weird going right? Because it would be a different habit. But if you did that over and over again, pretty soon you wouldn't even think about it. It would just be a new habit. Your God is creating you in such a way that whatever you do over and over through repetition, whatever you focus on, you will become. And it's just scientifically fact. That's what happens. But God's plan was for you to always focus on Him and His way of living. And here's what happened with sin. Sin not only kills you, it's a major distraction from Him. That's the problem with sin. Have you ever heard someone say this? Oh, what's the problem with, it's not a big deal. I only do it, but it's, what's the big deal? The problem is this, it's a distraction from what you should be focusing on. That's the problem. Because here's the deal. You can become whatever you want to be. I truly believe this. I'll give you an example. You know who this guy is? His name is Bruce Jenner. Now, Bruce Jenner doesn't exist anymore, and I challenge you to hit Siri right now and say, how old is Bruce Jenner? He doesn't exist anymore. Shoot, I'm serious. It's kind of what you can do it after church. But type in, how old is Bruce Jenner? And it'll tell you something different. Anyway, Bruce Jenner in the 70s wanted something more than anything else in his life. Do you know what it was? He wanted to be an Olympic champion. And in 1976, he won the decathlon. Did you know that? Right, that's right. This gentleman here said, and he goes on the Wheaties box. That's right. He wanted to be on the Wheaties box, and he became a champion as well. And so he was extremely famous. Won this, the first time an American won the decathlon in quite some time. And became an instant celebrity, good-looking guy, and he just exploded on the scene. He was on many sports stations and quite a very interesting guy. Later on in his life, he married a woman who is famous in her own right, and they had a reality show and everything. Anyway, long story short, he wanted something really bad, and that's what he became. And then just recently, he wanted something else really, really bad, and he wanted to be a woman, and now he is. Now, you could argue that. You say, he's not. Well, he's done that. And his focus has brought him to a place to where that's where he is right now. Does this make sense? Now, my intent is not to glorify or attack this person, okay? But what I want to get you to think is you can do whatever it is you want to do. You are actually created. Your nature is to become whatever you focus on. Does that make sense? So what do we focus on today? I want to ask you to raise your hands if you've been playing with your phone the last 5 minutes. If my Bible's on here, what? But my point is like this is, I mean, not a whole lot of people want to admit it, but this has become our focus, and present company included. But what's interesting about it is this can be, whatever's on here can be our focus. But the purpose of the phone, really the tendency of this phone is to give you zero focus. You follow what I mean? Like you're going to go 30 seconds to 60 seconds on something. The reality is of all of you that have technology in your hand or put it next to you because I mentioned it, you probably process, since the time I came up, which was roughly 20 minutes ago, you've probably already processed about a dozen different topics, minimum. You checked email, you checked what's going on, you might have checked the weather, like it wasn't sunny enough for you to figure that out, right? You've texted, you've done whatever, because, and this is what's really interesting, Satan doesn't want conversion, he wants distraction. Doesn't want your heart. He could care less about you. He just doesn't want you to have a relationship with Jesus. And so focus can do that. Now, I'm not condemning the iPhone or Android or whatever. I am a Mac guy. But anyway, my point is what I'm trying to say is where is our focus as a people? You know, Jesus said if your arm causes you to sin, do what? Cut it off. I wonder what he would say about technology. Unplug. And it can be any type of distraction. I'm going to get even more aggressive. I didn't put my Honolulu blue and silver colors of Detroit, but anything can be a distraction if it's not if our focus is not on Christ. Does this make sense?
Amen.
Because The reality is that we were created to do whatever we put our time into. Have you ever heard of the 10,000 hour rule? Something that Malcolm Gladwell came out with recently in a book. But he said, if you do something for 10,000 hours, you're going to be an expert at it. The Beatles, they figure before they hit the, they became famous in the Ed Sullivan Show in 1962. They had practiced about 10,000 hours. Now, 10,000 hours. Can someone do the math on that? What's 10,000 hours? If you practice something 5 hours a day, how many days would it take for you to be an expert? 10,000 divided by 5 is what? 2,000, right? Yeah. So that's roughly 6 years? Yeah? Roughly? So if you practice something 5 hours a day, now how long have you played the piano?
30 plus years.
30 plus years? You're pretty good. I'd say you're an expert. Right? Think about it. The things that you're pretty confident, you're pretty good at, you know? Dr. Freed, probably sew a finger together pretty quick. Not even think about it. Probably done it a few times. Time, focus. Really, what we do is what we communicate is where we put our time and our energies really promote what it is that we care about. Isn't that right? Has anyone ever told you, I don't have time for that? I'm too busy for that? What they're really communicating is it's not really a priority to them. And that's okay. I mean, I don't know. You have to determine whether it's okay or not. But wherever you put your time and your focus really is going to communicate what's important to you in your life. Does that make sense? Now, do you remember those four things? They said if you need to understand education, nature and purpose, right? The problem caused by sin, and then how God is going to fix it. And I'm processing this as a teacher, and I'm like, okay, I get the first two, and I totally understand the third. I understand why we're having so many troubles as a people. I mean, you think about it, you know, people always say, well, I had it rough when I was a kid. I used to, you know, the old adage, I walked uphill both ways to school, and I worked 40 hours a week. In third grade, I did it, you know, whatever. But do you know, do you understand how hard it is to be Daniel during these days? The kids that just stood up, you know how hard it is? You know how many issues they deal with? There's so many issues, but not only that, they are being constantly inundated with knowledge and technology. Every waking hour, something is being flashed at them. If you want to have some fun, YouTube, whether it's a TV or commercial or some type of show from the 1960s or 70s, and watch how unbelievably slow it is. And then you fast track to today's day and age, and they're scrolling on the bottom, there's stuff all over and everything. And the average kid will work their phone while they watch that, right? We have meals, right? Unless you have a technology band, everyone is on their phone. I remember one time I was in a meeting, I happened to be in charge of it, or I probably would have been guilty as well. Everyone in the meeting was on technology, and I noticed it, and I realized absolutely no one was listening to a word I was saying. That was really nice. And what I decided to do is I just decided to stop talking. So I stopped, and I said nothing. A good 15 seconds. Let me tell you how unbelievably uneasy that was. Here we go, 15 seconds. No, I won't do that. But it's a long time. And until finally everyone looked up like out of a coma, and they looked up and they're like, I said, hey, didn't know if we wanted to meet or not, because I don't need to be here if you don't want to be here. And that was like totally rude and a jerk. I totally understand. But anyway, that's how I felt at the time. Still do, actually. But I'm like, look, seriously, if we're not going to meet, then what's the point? So let's close the technology and let's focus on this. And by the way, it wasn't the staff for those. If any staff are watching, I'm like, I can't believe he said that. You know, no, that's not who it was. But But anyway, like, that's who we are. We have to multitask all the time. And what I want to throw out at you this morning is that we don't have a focus as a people. We just don't. We text and we drive. We text as we talk on the phone, right? A text is you talk to someone face to face. How many of you have talked to someone recently and they're talking to you and they're doing this while they're talking to you? Like, it's so rude. Like, talking to you isn't enough. I need this person. I'd rather be with this person, but you're here, so I'll acknowledge you, but this needs to be here as well. And I'm a culprit. I mean, my wife will be like, preach it, brother, and listen to it. You know, my ride home is going to be, now you need to listen to this sermon every day for a year. 10,000 hours. Please, 10,000. Thank you, Karen. 10,000 hours you need. So you say, well, okay, let's get to number four. How is God going to fix it? That's how he's going to fix it. He's going to... If I can get on those screens. That's how he's going to fix it. You focused everyone else, now focus on me. The father said, son, go down there and save them. Show them what life can be like. You know, he loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I want to process to you that what the everlasting life looks like. It looks like being with him, the creator of the universe, giving all of his focus to you for eternity. And you doing the same thing. Can you imagine this congregation? I don't attend church here. But if you're like a typical church, sometimes you probably have issues as a church. Amen? No? This is perfect here? Praise the Lord. I've always wanted to be to heaven, and here it is. Great. Imagine if everyone in this room focused only on everyone else's good. Could that change potluck? You probably wouldn't have to be served cafeteria style, would you? You know, you would see, oh, look at that pie. That looks fantastic. Francine, have some pie. That's not what you think. You're like, Francine, back of the line, you know, type of thing. But if in heaven, our focus is everyone first. Some of you might be saying, well, how are we getting anything done? Everyone's always telling everyone to go first. Look, heaven's going to be amazing. I remember I told this girl once, this is when I taught back in Michigan. I said, everyone else in heaven will care about your happiness except you. Process that. You won't need to worry about it because you're too busy enjoying the love that is being created by this massive love fest. And you'll respond the same way. You know what she said to me after class? She says, you know what? I've been really thinking about what you said. I said, great. She says, I don't want to go. I said, what do you mean? She goes, I'm a very selfish person. I don't want anything to do with that. And I would hate heaven. Now, what do you say to that? I was like, it's hard to get me speechless, but she did. And I just ended by saying, I sure hope you change your mind. She didn't. She committed suicide about 7 years later. The wages of sin is death. She just experienced what people experience on a daily basis when they're not focused on Christ. And not having that relationship with Jesus just destroys you. You know, when pastors or people come like myself and talk about certain things, you know, when we don't have an issue with it, we're like, preach it, brother. But when you have an issue, we're like, you need to stop talking. But the reality is these things, these issues, these struggles that we have in life, these sins in our life are taking our focus off of the thing that we should love the most, which is Christ. It's taking the thing that we should love the most, which is our family, right?
I can guarantee you that if you're having struggles with your marriage today, your focus isn't where it needs to be. If you're having struggles with your children, your focus isn't where it needs to be. Christ can change you. Amen? And not when he comes. Today he can change you. I know he's going to change you when he comes. But sometimes we neuter Christ and say, well, someday. That's not what Jesus said. He said he came to give life and more abundant one at that. And I believe that can happen today. I want to share with you some texts. Because, again, the four things, nature, purpose, what happened because of sin, how he's going to fix it. Well, here's my problem. I have a focus problem. I can't get past this. You know, whatever. I can't put it down. Jesus says, I'll fix it because I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You just put your focus on me and I'll take care of it. I'll tell you this story. I've told it a few times to my students. When I was in my early 20s, I had a hardcore gaming addiction. Specifically Madden, I don't know, 90, whatever year it was. I loved it. This is how big of a loser I was. I have a beautiful daughter, Adelaide, an amazing, beautiful wife, Melinda. Would never have happened unless God would have given me this victory. Because she was, Melinda, my girlfriend at the time, she would come over with her friend and her husband, who was my best friend from college, and Andy and I would sit and play video games and say, why don't you guys just go to the mall and do something? And just come back later, we'll go out to eat. Well, she would have kicked this loser to the curb real quickly if God wouldn't give me this victory. And this is how he gave me the victory. I said, Lord, one day I prayed. I said, Lord, if there's anything that comes in between you and me, please remove it. Fix it. I don't want it. I want to go closer to you. I want to focus on you. That was my prayer. Within a week, I came back to my apartment. The door was open. I walked inside. My TV, my video games, and my stereo were all stolen. That's it. Swear. It's a true story. Gone. I was like, what? Didn't have renter's insurance like an idiot. Oh! I said, God, how could you do this to me? And you know, I heard a little voice. You know what he said? You asked me to. I said, Man, I was so upset. Thank you. You know what, though? Within a year, I had replaced all those things. And I was miserable again. I really was. You know why I was miserable? Because it was a distraction. It took my focus on what I really desired. You follow me? How many of you really desire something, but you're not, something you're doing is preventing you from getting what you always wanted? Don't you end up hating what's preventing you from getting that? I do. So a year later, you know what I did? I prayed, oh Lord, if there's anything between you and me, just get rid of it. It's you and me, Lord. I just want to focus on you. Wasn't a week later. Came home. Door was open. I just started laughing. I didn't even go inside. I just started laughing. You gotta be kidding. No. I had renter's insurance too, by the way. I was like, no. And I walked inside. This is funnier. The TV, gone. Stereos, gone. Video games, gone. There was a big old, you know those big Coke bottle, plastic bottles you can fill with coins? Middle of the room, right there. Still there. Full of coin. Just that. I just started laughing. I get it. I'm done. Now, this is funny. Try and get me to play a video game now. It ain't happening. Hey, you want to play a video game? No. Like Pavlov's dog, you know? No. Don't own a TV. No. I know. Because here's the thing. It removes my... Please don't leave this sanctuary going, oh, what a legalist. Adventists aren't legalists. They're loyalists. I love you more than this. If this is getting in the way, get rid of it. That's all it is. And Jesus is the way to get rid of it. I had no power. There is no way. okay, Lord, I'm going to take my TV and my brand new stereo and PlayStation 2, which you laugh at, PlayStation 2, but it was super cool back then, okay? I'm going to go sell it. No, I never had the power to, so God goes, look, if you don't have the power, do you want me to have the power? Because I'm all powerful. Yes, I do. Okay. Check this out. In John 10, 27 and 28, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they what? They follow me. And I give eternal life to them and they will what? Never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. This is how it works. You focus on God and you follow him. Daniel, come here. You thought I forgot about you, didn't I? I didn't forget about you. It's all day, brother. You're getting it. Come here. Now, what could be more embarrassing than standing up here with me? I'll tell you what's more embarrassing. Give me your hand. Other hand. All right, so we're holding hands. Daniel and I, buddy. Now, here's what I want to focus on. Let me tell you how amazing but yet simple this is. This is how to give Christ your will. You can every day say, God, I want you to lead me. I want to follow you wherever you go. And I'll follow this. If Daniel agrees to not let go of my hand, he's going to follow me wherever I go. Doesn't that make sense? We could go back here. Have you been backstage?
No.
This is really nice.
Okay.
Yeah, we can go back here. Yeah. It's great. There's some water. Do you need some water back here?
Yeah, sure.
All right, good. And then we can come out over here. He'll follow me wherever I go. Why? Because he's not going to let go of my hand. Does this make sense? Bible says that no one will be able to snatch you out of his hand. So when someone comes to try and distract you, no, get away. And this is how it works. Remember when Jesus said this? Hey, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I see my Father saying. We start walking along, right? And this guy right here, he's trouble, whatever his name is. How you doing? His brother, he's staring at you too, all right? He go, hey, should I go that route? And I go, no, that's a bad idea. Okay, so he goes this way. Hey, should we go this way? Yeah, you should. All you do is you live in a life of focus to where I'm only going to do what I see my Father doing. And if you do that, I believe that Jesus Christ can give you that victory.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.
You're good. And while we're doing that, this is what happens over time. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. I look in the mirror and I see myself and it's depressing. Amen? You ever looked in the mirror and went, whoa, this is bad. But if you've ever spiritually looked in the mirror, it's depressing. But when I look to Christ, I look good by his glory and his grace. And that's how you get that victory. You know, we talked about earlier in our conversation, we talked about these young people, right? That I believe are going to be alive and I believe will bypass death and will rise to meet him when he comes. I believe that's 144,000. But let's look at this. Look at what it says in Revelation 14. That I looked and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. They look like their parents. Amen? They're their brother and their father. Excuse me. And I heard a voice from heaven, the sound of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. By the way, I've used that analogy with my students. If a student says, I'm having a hard time obeying the rules, I says, hey, I got an idea. Just hang out with me all day. You won't break the rules. I'll just hold your hand. Guarantee. Isn't that true? Anybody have a speeding problem? No one in this room? Okay, who has a lying problem then? Let's do that. Right, you have a speeding problem, right? How do you get total conversion when you see a cop right next to you? Like, I can't go the speed limit. It's just too slow. Hello. Right? How do you get victory? How do you get victory over sin? Because you're walking with Christ. And back to Revelation 14, what do? These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Why? Wherever he goes. Why? Because they're holding his hand. Young people, you want victory over a struggle? Hold his hand. When you wake up this morning, did you say, Lord, hold my hand. Give me victory. Not just victory, Lord. I just want to be with you. I just want to spend the time with you. Jesus can't be used to fix a certain issue and then you put him back in the closet. Oh, my life is miserable. Hey, Jesus, come here and fix my problem. Thanks. It doesn't work. You know what? Diets don't work. Right? Lifestyle change works. You go on the 7-day lemonade fast, right? And you're drinking lemon water till you think these cursed little yellow spears, I never want to see them again. And the maple syrup that you used to love on pancakes, you despise. And you're 10 pounds lighter, but you haven't drunk anything but lemon water for 10 days. And you're cleansed and you hate life. And sure, that first meal, if it's, sorry, I'm burying my soul a little bit. That first meal, if it's green beans, it tastes like filet mignon because you haven't eaten in 10 days. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't experience lifestyle change, in 10 days you'll be back to, you know what, anything and everything. And that's not how Jesus works either. We can't just pick him and push him, pick him and push him. Having that loving relationship, devotion to him, following wherever he goes, will change everything. Here's what it finishes here in Revelation 14. These have been purchased from among men and as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. There's no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. Jesus will make you blameless. I don't know how it's going to work, but that's how it works. So if I'm struggling this morning, and maybe you're struggling with something this morning, your life is, you're having issues, don't focus on the sin. Focus on the Savior. Focus on Christ. Take me wherever I need to be, Lord. You know, I prayed this prayer recently, and I actually took my phone. I was in the middle of an altar. I was like, Lord, if there's anything between you and me, and I know that that's it. And so like the next 3 days, I was thinking, well, any day now, I'm about to lose my phone. So I did. I was like, yeah, it's going to be broken. Should get insurance on it. But you know what it did? I put my focus on Christ, and it no longer was a problem. Amen. I don't know how to explain it. I don't want it ever to be a problem. Because he's the most important thing to me. Is it to you? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for giving us the power to be like you. Oh Lord, because of sin, we've done a really lousy job. We've messed things up really bad. Please, Lord, help us to put our focus back on you. Help us to turn our eyes upon you. Help everything else to fade to gray. Lord, restore us. Fix our hearts. Fix our problems. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that's struggling with something, I just want to pause and give you that opportunity during our prayer time to just quietly in your heart pray, call out to Father too. If there's anything right now that you say, Lord, I need your help with this. Or Lord, I need to make you focused, number one focus in my life. I'll give you that opportunity to do that this time. Dear Lord, my prayer is every brother and sister, old and young, that is in your house this morning. I pray that they would hold your hand. I pray that they would experience eternal life today. The eternal life that comes from knowing you, the only true God. Lord, I pray that they would experience it. I pray they would never let go of your hand and experience eternity with you. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.